Good morning, everyone. Let's take a moment just to open up with a word of prayer. Jesus, we give you this time, this morning, to seek your face and connect with you, Lord. And so would you come open up our hearts and ears and minds to receive your message, your word, that it would give us guidance and help us to feel connected with you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Right. This morning we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to read from verses 1 to 5. Verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Amen. Okay, it starts with talking about the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. So uses this illustration of, I guess, a body of water. And it says he turns it wherever he wishes. And so what it's saying is it's expressing, even for people like kings, who may or may not be followers of God, it says God still basically, what it says, it turns it wherever he wishes. That's being God, to say that God is in control. It might not seem like it, and I think of, for us, maybe it could be world leaders, Donald Trump, Xi Jinping, or even just people, right? Oftentimes we struggle, which is because we have control over ourselves. That's it, right? And so we have control over our hearts. We're aware of what's going in our hearts. And so we can very accurately, as we pray, as we surrender, have a choice in it. And then God can do something in us. And even then, even when it comes to us, sometimes we're not even sure if we can change. Like, can I really break this habit? Can I break this stronghold in my life? And so when it comes to others, other people, we would struggle even more. Because we're like, well, I have a choice. I chose to surrender. Will that person really change? They're not even surrendered. It's like, I'm surrendered and I'm having trouble changing. How about them? Well, according to this verse, it says God is control. What we struggle with is the timing, right? Which is we want the change now, instantaneously. But we need to trust God. And this is part of when we say having faith. And God's encouragement is, it might not seem like it, he's in control. And that doesn't mean he's taking over people's wills, but he's in control with the circumstances that can guide somebody. Even if people are, you know, disobedient, he can still have his hand on the circumstances to bring redemption and goodness. Verse 2, it says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And so God is most concerned with the heart, the motive. And God knows each person's hearts. We, on the other hand, are not aware of other people's hearts, nor are we oftentimes aware of even our own heart. And so oftentimes man, us, we justify ourselves by our actions. And we don't even think too deeply about our motives. But it's important that we do. And this is why we need self-awareness. This is why we ask, like David, pray to God, in our case, pray to Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to bring awareness, so that we would do things with the right motive. Otherwise, we just do it based on action. That's our flesh. That's my child. Right? I ask him, hey, you know, we just came home or, you know, whatever, we're about to eat. Did you wash your hands? And he's feels very justified and say, yeah. But I know him. I say, did you wash your hands with water? Yeah. Did you wash your hands with soap? Yeah. Did you wash your hands today? Yeah. And I finally go, and in his heart, he's like, yeah, I did all this. I feel like I did all this. And then I ask him, and I go, okay, let me smell your hands. Last chance, I'm going to smell your hands. He goes, actually, let me just wash my hands again. But in that moment, he's so justified. I think there's something in us that rises up, especially if we're challenged. Even if we haven't done it, where we want to say, yeah, I'm innocent. Of course I did. How dare you challenge me? But God looks at the heart. And so even everything we do, even maybe EMP today, or going to Sunday service, right? What is the motive? It's not enough to just come, but what is your motivation? And that kind of leads into the next verse. Verse 3, it says, to do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. More than sacrifice. Often what we do is we're too focused. Our motivation is just on the sacrifice. What is the Old Testament context when we're talking about sacrifice? Is you did something wrong. You've sinned. And so how do you make up for it? How do you earn back your right standing with God? Is you present a sacrifice. And so when we do things, I guess it goes back to the motive, right? What is the motive? You come to EMP, you go to worship. Why? Is it out of sacrifice? As in, I need to do this because if I don't do this, then I'm not in right standing. So I need to earn my goodness. I need to earn it. When you obey the Lord, when you obey God, why? Is it to earn? Or is it, here it says, to do righteousness and justice is to be good. Not simply to get earning. And so why would you come to EMP? I mean, hopefully it's not to earn, but you know it's good for you. You want to please the Lord. You recognize that you have a strong need for God in your life. And so you come to encounter him, to meet him, and not just because, oh yeah, check, or maybe yes. Verse 4, it says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. Let's talk about pride. This is a sin. Pride is one of those things that you're not aware of. I mean, the illustration is it's like bad breath. Everyone else can be aware, and it's very obvious, but you yourself will not be aware of the pride. And it comes very subtly. Even right now, how are you proud? Are you aware of the pride that you you carry. Oftentimes how it comes out, especially when it comes to being pride, and pride can be, I think the accurate, the way PCM presents it is, you have to come to agreement with God on who you are and others. Now where that pride comes out is when we compare. And so it can be pride when you compare yourself to someone and you think you're above them. Or you compare yourself and you're below them. What's the reality? The reality is not about comparison. It's we're all the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. And so we're the same. The trouble is when we compare. And we got to catch that. It's so subtle. Because the reality is we compare ourselves all the time. We always compare things. The key to catching that pride is when that happens, what is your response? And the unhealthy response is when you look up or you look down, you know, you're jealous, you covet, you think you're better than people. That is the pride. Being aware of what's going on is not the issue. Like, you know, you can judge, for instance, like say worship, right? The worship, you notice something wrong. And that's normal. That's not, there's nothing wrong with it. But there's two, you could have the proud response, which is you're so distracted. You're judging the leader or the team. You're like, oh. Or you're just aware of it and you're like, okay, well, end of the day, I'm just here to worship. I don't really care. I mean, I care, but it's not that important, right? Or it could be work, you compare, other people, Instagram, you know, you see, that's probably the worst, social media, because it's, I feel like it's all about just judging and comparing the whole thing. And so you'd be like, oh, they're so lucky, or I wish I could go, or you're like, oh, I can't believe they posted that. That's the general reaction. Of course, you can just be like, oh, okay, right? So we have to be careful because it says the lamp of the wicked is sin. So these proud people, what's driving them? What's their light, right? What's guiding them? It'll end up being sin. Because I guess if the examples I shared, if you're somebody who is full of pride and you're comparing, you're coveting, then that's what's going to lead you in life. You see someone else have this, then you're going to be driven for that instead of just simply love and God's plans. Number five, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Diligence. The fact that it's highlighted here. Diligence versus hastiness. Diligence is, you know, basically preparing for the future. You don't leave things last minute. You make plans. You take time. If you have to write an essay or study for your exams, you study early or when you have the time to. You don't leave it last minute, procrastination, hastiness. And diligence does not come naturally. Maybe I feel like for myself, for especially my children, diligence doesn't come naturally. They want to play first. And then when they have to do things, then they do it. That's the hastiness. And so how do you gain diligence? It's discipline. You have to do it. You have to do it and do it. You know, instead of leaving things to the very last hour, you got to do it in advance. And the advantage is, it says, or I guess the pro is, it brings advantage. Because, I mean, this is pretty common sense, right? You prepare for something, right? Then you'll have the advantage because you have time to plan, to be strategic, to think of things. Even with your children, right? You can just react, or you can actually be diligent in the way you raise your children by being thoughtful, right? Thinking of, okay, if they react like this, how should I respond? What am I trying to teach them? Instead of, what are you doing? You should know better. I can't believe, right? And it says, if you don't, everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Maybe sometimes it works out, but probably most of the time it could be better. The fruit of that circumstance is very small versus it could be maximized. And I guess the most direct correlation would be the way you manage your money. Right? You leave things to the last minute when you buy things, maybe go when you travel, then you're going to pay a premium versus if you buy it early. Same with investments, right? The earlier you invest and you're diligent with and come up with a plan of how to do it, then the greater the reward versus last minute. And maybe you do things hastily, you take high risks, gamble, crypto, I don't know. And then the risk is poverty.